36. Merrill for the lead. He's got it! Oh, my goodness.
And champions of the Mountain West for the first time. Zalega in at quarterback and wasted no time. And welcome to the game, Cooper Lega. Devin Tompkins takes it all the way. How about that?
Greetings and salutations, everybody. I am Braden Clark, your host today for the Sagebrush Show. I'm excited to have you guys on today. As you can tell, Braxton is not here and Tim is not here as well, so I'm riding solo today. They're out sick this week, so I gave them the pass. And I apologize getting this episode out to you guys so late in the week. Obviously, the game's tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, and we haven't had an episode since previously to the Wyoming game. So there's a lot that I wanted to discuss this week. However, a lot of it got gotten hijacked by things that are happening outside of our football program. A lot of news stories that are coming out surrounding the football team or the athletic department in general. I just kind of want to sit back and wait to see what happened from those articles, from the news around the program. So I kind of waited out. You know, I was hoping to hear from Blake and his response to the lawsuit that's going up between him and the former Aggie Patrick Maddox, and to see what that was going to come out to. So I waited till about Tuesday to figure that out. I'm like, okay, like, we'll see what happens there. And then we will release the podcast on Wednesday. And then Tuesday came around and there was shufflings and word about John Hartwell potentially leaving. And, you know, I decided let's wait a little bit and see if we can get a little bit more information on that one. And then he ended up leaving, I believe Wednesday. And I made a decision, let's wait till Thursday before more come out. And obviously the next Trib article came out Thursday about him and what he said with a booster. So I just kind of didn't want to jump the gun on any of these topics, and I didn't want to, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction to something that honestly I don't know. And there's a lot of people on the internet that are giving immediate reactions to what's happening. Obviously, the initial article that was released last week with the Trib, I quickly made a tweet regarding the news of that and how hard it was to read what was being said in that article. That was obviously very immediate reactions on my part, but I didn't really give it time to develop and let my own thoughts gather of what I had read. I am perplexed, I guess I would say. I'm a lot like you guys, I imagine. You know, obviously, we want the university to do better on these kind of things, right? Like, we don't want to have these same conversations. It seems like for the last decade, Utah State's had these conversations and these allegations within our program and within our football team. And it's really unfortunate. And I hope that with the change of leadership up top, that these trends that we have had are in the past, and we can, you know, be proud of our football program, and the negative things that we talk about them is on the field and not off the field. And so I'm hoping that that's the case. So first and foremost, to those Aggies who are simply in the same position as I am, this kind of, you know, we want to see our program succeed. We want to, but we also are frustrated with the fact that we keep being in these conversations. And kind of what I have determined how I'm going to react to these is that I am loyal to Utah State University. And what that means is that I'm not loyal to Blake Anderson. I'm not loyal to John Hartwell. I am loyal to Utah State University, and I will support whoever is in the helm of that going forward. So as of right now, I'm just kind of sitting and waiting by just to find out what is actually going to come from this. Me personally, I think that when it comes to the lawsuit, I don't think much is going to come from this, even though there are a lot of people who are thinking that that Blake is going to lose his job over what has been reported, or that he's allegedly said. I'm interested to see how this all plays out. I don't think it's something that's going to happen in the next few months. I think it's something that's going to happen probably in 12 months from now. And we're going to be talking about it again once either it's settled or, you know, whoever wins the case. So that's kind of where I'm sitting at. There's a lot of things just reading that initial article that are really difficult for me to see if they can actually provide proof of anything. And that doesn't, you know, excuse that or immediately make Blake innocent or guilty. But I just think that I don't think anything's going to come of it, because a lot of what the former player mentioned in that article is that it's one-on-one conversations between him and Blake, and his interpretations of how Blake responded to things. Now, if there's an investigation done, I imagine that they're going to ask players and what they thought of what Blake said, and if he was truly genuine on these remarks or apologies he's made. So there's that. But I honestly don't think that much will come from this, just because it is a one-on-one conversation between Blake and Patrick that is the most harmful things that is allegedly to be said. So unless Blake comes out and kind of admits that he said it, or there's a way that Patrick can provide that he actually said the things that he said behind closed doors, the things I'm thinking about, like Patrick saying that Blake's reputation as a Christian has been tarnished, and things like that. I think that was one that I don't have it in front of me, but that was one that I initially remembered as that's pretty terrible if that's true. And then, you know, I imagine that the investigators are going to be asking the players about, hey, did Blake say that Patrick is apologized for his mistake? And they're gonna probably gonna investigate the coaches to see if they weren't gonna bring him back on scholarship the next year. They're probably going to ask the players if Blake actually said that the apology that he was giving was bullshit. Like, there's a lot of things there that are really hard for me to sit here and think, how is that actually gonna come out unless there's actual visual recording? Which is also really unfortunate that this came out, because a lot of this is here, he said, he said kind of stuff. And it's really unfortunate that this is the third year in a row that we are having to have our football program, our university in the news for a negative thing, right? Yeah. 2020 obviously had Gary Anderson leaving, players quitting that final game because of interim coach Frank Miley and what John Hartwell and President Cockett allegedly said. Now that has come out, and they did an investigative report and cleared her by all means. But and then last year, obviously, is the recording right before the bowl game. And now this year is the lawsuit. And then also John Hartwell leaving the program this week as well. All this is just kind of messy. It was weird how it all kind of played out within I would say about 48 hours. And I, you know, when John left, obviously I think, I don't know the whole story. I don't know what's going to come out in the next 48 hours. I know that he had a conversation that was pretty distasteful with a booster, that, you know, it's terrible that, you know, anyone would say those things. And then also that he left under these circumstances where we kind of really need a leader to kind of put us through this these allegations and stuff like that. So him leaving, you know, despite everything that has come out the last week, he has shepherded Utah State into some great hires that has taken Utah State athletics to the next steps, in my opinion. You know, getting those Mountain West Conference championships is such a big deal to this university, coming from the WAC. Even though, you know, those WAC championships had some great teams, winning the Mountain West is just a different leg for the for every sport. You know, for volleyball, winning the Mountain West last year, for soccer, and then for obviously football, winning the Mountain West in 2021 was a huge deal. And then basketball, the first year with Craig Smith, and then the back-to-back Mountain West Conference tournaments. Whatever comes his way next, who knows? He may get a P5 job. He might have lost the P5 job just because of everything that's happened under his tutelage here at Utah State. Now that brings in Jerry Bovey, who is now the interim athletic director for Utah State. And, you know, this guy is an Aggie, and he has had a pretty successful career as an athletic director as of to this point. A lot of you know that he is the reason why Weber State is in the position that they are now for their football program. And then, you know, there's something that has to be said that he was able to keep not only Jay Hill at Weber State for so long, but even Randy Rahe in the basketball department. Randy's probably a bigger surprise that he was able to stay at Weber State for so long than Jay Hill has been at Weber for the last, I think he's been almost 10 years at Weber State, which is, you know, actually pretty impressive too. The fact that they've been able to keep both of those guys around as long as they have is kudos to Bovey, and hopefully he's able to bring that to Utah State and kind of create some stability. This week has been on, he was on the coach's show earlier talking to Scotty G, and, you know, granted, these are just words right now, but he seems pretty adamant about staying here forever. He wants to retire as an Aggie. So, you know, we'll see what he can do these as the interim tag and see if he can do enough to, you know, make himself the long-term solution to this. I also see that there is a benefit doing a national search for this position. I think there's a lot of bad vibes on a national or an outside looking in on when it comes to our athletic department. So I could see why the university may want to just kind of clean house and find some new blood that they can kind of put this behind them, and then they don't have to worry about the backlash of keeping people around who may have been complicit in some things and or just been around when certain things were going down that weren't really favorable with the public. So that's that. I mean, I'm curious to see where the program goes next with Jerry. I would love to see some kind of outreach to donors to kind of get things going back in the right direction when it comes to donations to the university, to the athletic department. There's some things that I would love to see updated, whether it be in the Maverick stadium or, you know, in the Spectrum or something like that. You know, I'd love to see that whole eastern side of the stadium kind of renovated, providing more bathrooms for people, and, you know, just to make that eastern side of the building just a little bit more nice than it is currently. So that's my thoughts on those things. Obviously, there's a lot that are going to come out in next few weeks, months surrounding the program. But yeah, that's football. That's what's going on off the field. And now let's transition to the actual football stuff that's been going on. The Wyoming game was really weird. I was kind of upset just because we decided to kind of make Bishop be the hero of the game, right? Like, he didn't really get the opportunity to rely on Calvin Tyler in that game. So that was kind of frustrating, but obviously that was a couple of weeks ago. And we can move on. I think one thing that needs to be, I need to kind of reflect on or think back to, as soon as Logan went down for the year, I think we all should have, or at least I should have pivoted my mindset to what this season was. As soon as Logan went down, this season went from a conference championship type team to a rebuilding team. And those expectations should have been adjusted. So getting to a bowl game for this team is a big deal. And I think that it, if we are able to accomplish that, I think it is huge, mainly just because how many freshmen and underclassmen are playing on this team. You look on the offensive side of the ball, you look on the defensive side of the ball, there's a countless true freshmen, not even and then some redshirt, but there's a lot of true freshmen that are getting a lot of play time. And, you know, it's going to be great for them when they get older later in the years when they're here at Utah State. So I'm optimistic for their futures, but I also want to kind of cap this season off going to a bowl game and giving those seniors who've worked really hard their last hurrah for Utah State. So Utah State sits 3-5 with two of our easiest games coming up here the next 2 weeks. And then two of our hardest games to cap off the season. We have to go 3-1 in that time frame. And hopefully in that case, we can get 6-6, go to a bowl game, and, you know, cap this season off with a winning record at 7-6. So what to expect tomorrow? New Mexico, you know, hasn't been a great team in the Mountain West in years. And it should be the same thing for us next week. I think Cooper, there hasn't been confirmed, but I'm pretty positive Cooper is going to be back for this game. I think that it's just the frustrating thing about this whole season, right? Is that we haven't really gotten into a groove. You know, the first, was it 4 or 5 games? We were really kind of hoping that Logan would be able to recover from his ACL tear. And then the last, you know, you had Cooper start against BYU, but that was kind of an immediate thing. He didn't get a lot of practice in that week. He was immediately thrown into the starting position. And then he played well and then came back and had the big game against Air Force. And we started to see our season kind of like, okay, conference championship hopes are still alive. Here we go. We go to Colorado State. He gets knocked out in that first drive. Okay. Levi Williams is a formidable backup. He can go in and kind of keep the things rolling. He gets knocked out a couple drives in. So suddenly the momentum we had built for the last 2 weeks is gone again. And suddenly it just felt like the season has gotten away from us. We keep waiting to kind of get healthy. We keep waiting to get consistent play from the offense, and it hasn't happened all year. Cooper's expected to go in after, was it 3 weeks off, four, maybe 3.5 if you count the Colorado State game, and hope to catch magic that he had against Air Force and the first couple drives against Colorado State. So what to expect from him, I have no idea. It's hard to say. I hope that he comes out and he's as productive as he was that homecoming game against Air Force, and he could go out and ball out like we saw there. If we get that production, I think tomorrow's a blowout, and I think Utah State runs away with it. However, it's hard for me to sit here and say like, oh yeah, Utah State's going to be able to go in and beat New Mexico easily. It's just, we just haven't been consistent enough for me to believe that. So this season, you know, it's hard for me to put my thoughts on this season. We'll finish that off of once we know if we're going bowling or not. But, you know, they're do or die right now. You're asking them to win basically every game going forward. You have to at least split San Jose or Boise, and both of those squads look like they're playing their best ball. Obviously, San Jose played poorly last week against Nevada, but it's hard to for me to blame them in that game. They just lost a teammate the week prior and in a tragic bus accident. And, you know, it's I don't put too much on that one. We'll see how they regroup this week. So, you know, going 6-6, 7-5 would be an awesome mark. And then we'd be have the opportunity to get that 8-win mark, which I've made very poignant that it is important for us to get 8 wins every season. We shouldn't be this program that falls back down to 6-6 after a ranked season, but here we are, or even less than 6-6. So there's a lot of things that are going against this team. I hope to see some improvement in that regard, and maybe turn this thing around and get us to a bowl game. I'm hopeful. We'll see. Obviously, tomorrow's is a big game for us. Now we're going to get transitioned to basketball. But first, do you, like 40% of Americans, suffer from constipation, bloating, and gas on a daily basis? This is the most likely due to the lack of fiber in your diet. We found a new protein bar that can help. Odyssey Prebiotic Protein Bars are filled with 20 to 36% of your daily needed dose of fiber to go along with 13 to 16 grams of protein. These nut butter-based bars are sweetened with dates, bananas, and honey, and no artificial sugars. They're gluten-free, soy-free, and some flavors are even dairy-free as well. Check them out at www.odysseysnacks.com and use the code SAGEBRUSH for a 15% discount on your order. That's www.odysseysnacks.com, promo code SAGEBRUSH for 15% off your next order, founded and run by a fellow Aggie. And for those that are needing flavor suggestions, I always get the banana ones. Those are actually really fantastic. I crave those a lot, and they're good morning bars to get your morning protein in when you're running out the door. So oddly enough, basketball season is just right around the corner. Our first game is next Monday against UVU, which is kind of sad that our in-state rivalry game, the only in-state rival game for us this season, I believe, well, if you count Westminster, there's two, but is UVU on Monday. So, and I believe actually we play Utah Tech as well. And that's my mistake. We play three, but regardless, the three teams that we play in the state of Utah are UVU, Utah Tech. Oh, we do play Weber State and Westminster. So, and I think for Utah State fans looking for improvement on that, I think we're going to be expected to play those teams going forward. I don't think we're going to be playing BYU in Utah anytime soon when it comes to scheduling that. So that's unfortunate, but at least getting them up to Logan, which I know has been a big deal for John Hartwell. Maybe this changes for Jerry, but I would like to see those games be revived if possible. This basketball team is interesting because, you know, Ken Pom really mentioned that, or he liked Utah State. We mentioned that in a previous episode that we were, you know, top 10 mid-majors in all of college basketball, but that's not the case for the media poll in the Mountain West. They chose, I believe we were predicted to finish, I think it was 8 this year, which is really low considering what I have a lot of respect for Ken Pom, and the fact that we are so low there is in the media poll is kind of crazy. I'm excited to see what Ryan Odom is able to do in year two. This is definitely a big year for him. Utah State is a program that should be the top of the Mountain West every year. Our history in basketball, and then the last 3 years with Craig Smith have shown that we should be on top. With all things considered, we've recruited really well when it comes to players, when the talent level coming out of high school. we've brought in transfers, and honestly, we should be able to be competing with these, with the likes of maybe not San Diego State every year, but the likes of Colorado State, Wyoming, etc. So this is make it or break it year for Ryan, in my opinion. I think he's got to really show out to me this season that he can, you know, bring in the right guys and coach them up. We got a lot of unique pieces, new guys. It's hard to It's hard to replace the three of the greatest Aggies to ever come on the court, right? I mean, you lose Sam, who's arguably the best. You know, you lose Nimi, who's arguably the most talented. And then you lose Justin Bean, who has one of the biggest hearts you can imagine to ever come through Utah State. So, you know, I do have to give them a little, cut them a little slack losing those guys. So who knows what to expect from this team this season. I mentioned on the last episode, I wouldn't be too surprised if Utah State runs the table this year in the non-conference schedule. I mean, you have some WCC squads that are come through that are pretty tough. Bradley's always a tough mid-major team as well. Oral Roberts had their good run, but they don't have many players from that team anymore that contributed at all. San Francisco is another good WCC squad. And then Seattle has been a great WAC school. Obviously, Weber State has had a good run in the Big Sky, but Randy Ray, he is retired, so he's no longer there. And so there's just not much on this that I am excited about and feel like we should, honestly, where we are as a program, should be able to beat all these teams. Let me run it down. Utah Valley, Bradley, Santa Clara, San Diego, Oral Roberts, Utah Tech, San Fran, Loyola Marymount. Then we got Westminster, Weber State, Seattle, and I believe Seattle's that tournament at the end of it all in Hawaii. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to get absolutely stoked about the team, but that's kind of maybe that's a good thing. Obviously, San Diego State is going to be the cream of the crop for the Mountain West. Wyoming just got a big blow losing their one of their best players for most of the non-conference, but I imagine he will be back for the conference season. And Colorado State, you know, they lost one of their best players last year, but they still have a lot of guys from the previous years there. So then they're always competitive. And Boise State returning a lot from the conference championship team last year as well. So can Utah State somehow sneak into that top four, top five? Maybe. I mean, it's hard for me to understand. I was very disappointed with the production that we got from everyone else, not Justin Bean last year. Sean Baristow had some good moments. Max Shulga had some moments as well, but everyone else just kind of, I was just so disappointed in, and I hope that they prove me wrong this year. I will eat crow and I'll be happily to do so. But yeah, who knows? Game one's on Monday. I don't think we'll be going. My wife and I go to bed pretty early, so I don't think we'll be able to make game one, but I'm hoping to go to a few games this year. Maybe if they, you know, win a few, I'll be able to convince her to stay up late and we can go to one of those games. So, you know, that's going to do the episode today, guys. I appreciate you listening. And I hope that, you know, things go well for the rest of the season for us, that we don't have to worry about what Trib article is going to come and kind of throw us all through another loop, a media craze loop. So hope you all are well. Appreciate you, what you guys do, coming in and listening to our podcast. Braxton, Tim, and I really love doing these every week for you. And I hope you guys like listening to us. We're fans just like you guys. So once again, this has been the Sagebrush Show. I've been your host, Braden Clark, and we'll see you guys next week. Go Aggies.